praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord Jesus, how we love and appreciate you.
Yes.
Lord, we can't say it enough. Father, from Lord, we stop and just take a moment, look back through our lives and see where we was and where we've been, Lord, and where we are now and where we're going, Father. Lord, it's such a wonder, Lord Jesus, why you chose us, why you predestinated us, why you placed that part of you inside of us, Lord, that, Father, we may be born again, Lord, and that desire pulsating within our hearts. But Lord, we say thank you. Lord, from the depths of our hearts, we appreciate all you do for us. Bless the service, we ask tonight. Just come down amongst us and meet with us in a special way. Speak to us through your word. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The thing in our capstone books there, if you would, turn with me in page 46. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Getting more and more strange things. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Over in that land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that the way you're starting to feel, yes, saints, more and more every day? Hallelujah. Amen. Page 59. Amen. I'm going that way. Getting close to the going away days. Yes, amen. Amen.
I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful life. A beautiful place of mansions fair and skies ever bright, where all who believe the Savior so dear forever shall stay. Once having been saved by grace divine, I'm going that way.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me each day. I'm clinging to him and never to stray. Yes, singing his praise I want them to sing His praise above some beautiful day. For glory to Him who died for me. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm going that way. Singing His praises all day long. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I know I shall meet Him at the gate when trials are past. I know I shall meet Him face to face in glory at last. And now I believe that when we meet, well done He will say. For trusting His soul-redeeming grace, oh Lord, hallelujah. I'm going that way. I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. I'm clinging to Him and never to stray. Yes, singing His praises all day long, I'm going that way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the assurance. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Page 39. Amen. I'll have a new life. Amen. Saints, just what we have to look forward to, what we know about it. Amen. What we've been told. And then, as I think it was Paul said, a half hasn't even been spoken yet. What a day it's going to be. On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. Amen. Also with weakness raised in power, ready to live in paradise, I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Amen. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to send. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Amen. Was raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I have a new life. Oh, free from every imperfection, youthful and happy I will be. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, glorified with Him forever, death will be lost in victory. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Amen. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to send. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, praise in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, what a hallelujah morning, when the voice of God shall sound. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I have a new life. Oh, graves all bursting, chains astounding, heavenly beauty all around. I have a new body, praise the Lord, I have a new life. new home of love eternal with the redeemed of God to stay. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more pride. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, what a day that's going to be, saints. Amen. What a hallelujah morning.
Amen.
And the voice of God shall sound. Amen. Graves all bursting, saints are shouting. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful day. Amen. Let's sing that last verse again.
What a hallelujah morning when the voice of God shall sound. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Graves all bursting, saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of love eternal with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Amen. All saints, what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come on? That's the blessing, if you will. Amen. Where would I be without Jesus? Amen.
Where would I be without Jesus? Oh, where would I spend eternity? Oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be? Oh, tell me, where would I be? I spend eternity, oh, lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be?
Oh, God. Hallelujah. How many have something on your heart? Need a request? Just hold it on your heart. Brother Josh, would you take a request tonight? You got a special on your heart? Song or anything? Right. Josh, you got something?
I was saying, let's think of that. I thank God for the lighthouse. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
Let's all stand now, if you would. Amen. Sing, O Course, Only Believe.
Ask our brother.
Yes. Yes. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Just bow our heads for a moment. Precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for the wonderful opportunity to come together with saints of like precious faith, Lord, and gather around your precious word, and just asking, Lord, that tonight, as each one of us has come, that you would just grant us a little nugget or a portion, Lord, out of your precious word, for we know it is spirit and it is life. And Lord, it's a ever sustaining, Lord, and ever watering and ever precious to us. And we just pray, Lord, that tonight we'll find our portion. And Lord, we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. And we ask it all in the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful?
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
While you're standing, if you would, we'll turn over to the book of John, the 15th chapter. And read a very familiar scripture. Just a little exhortation for this evening, and praying that it'll strengthen you. Maybe we'll find a little nugget here, just felt pressed to go in and read these things. Amen. But John 15, just, and we read these things often, but how we ought to ponder the words that have been written and meditate upon it and let it really saturate our hearts. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. But abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. May the Lord bless you, his word, and you may be seated. A very precious little scripture, but the more that you think about it, how we should truly be abiding in him. And, you know, it's so often we gather in around God's precious word, and we gather in to hear myself, maybe Brother Smith, our pastor, someone bringing forth God's precious word. And we're not just to come into the church and just, but Jesus, when he was speaking, he's saying, abide in me. He didn't tell us to abide in a certain group or a certain place, but abide in me. And who is he? The Word. Yes. In the beginning was the Word, when the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes. And when God was, we read these things, how it should really strike our hearts in the age in which we're living is we talk about studying God's Word and reading God's Word and meditating. As Paul had told us to meditate upon the Lord without distraction. And how these things, when we see that we're not of this world and we're just passing through, how much more we should be looking into this for our leadership and our guidance and everything that we do. And realizing that this is my expert, is a mirror that we're looking into to make sure that everything is just right and just ready and my ticket's in my hand. And I'm standing there being able to understand the word and to see it vindicated and manifested through my life, and to see that true work of our pastor's been preaching on the overcomer, realizing the promise that lays there to the overcomer, will I grant to sit with me. Amen. And how that ought to just stir our hearts. And you know, oftentimes we go along, and even here there's just a few of us and we gather in around God's word, but he said, where two or three are gathered in my midst, there I'll be in my name, there I'll be in the midst.
Yes, amen.
And how, as each day draws closer and we see, the times may change and maybe we can't even gather as much as we do. Is my love for God strong enough to hold me? Am I truly abiding in that vine? That the branches, that my life would continue to produce exactly what he wants. Or if the longer I'm away from church, my kinship with the vine seems to dwindle. And how it should truly be that every day we're abiding in that vine, not just coming to church, but every day my life is hitting Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I yet live, yet it's not I. As we read these things and begin to meditate upon them, how all of the scriptures and the things Paul wrote and the things Peter and all of them wrote and put into this book, how it will gel together into a great picture and cause a greater love in our hearts. I'd like to turn over to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and read something Peter was saying here. We've read this many times, but just thinking along these lines of the great expectations we have. As our pastor, even think about the quote, overcome, Brother Branham said, keep life in you. And to these wonderful, precious things, how it should just continue to gel together for us every service. And as we hear things, it should never just be, we went to church because it was time and somebody's going to preach something, somebody's going to read something. Every time God's word lays open, and it's God's word, it don't matter. He spoke through the mouth of a donkey one time to someone. It was important. And how it is that every time God's word lays open, there's something there for us if we're hungry and asking God to give us our portion. And how we should truly make sure that we don't ever let it become common to us or get to a place to where it's just the scripture, I've heard it, it's just a message, I heard that before, I know what Brother Branham said, I can quote it. But may we always be crying out to God for revelation and understanding of the word, that it wouldn't just be words, but it would be a living reality through our lives and a manifestation. But here in 2 Peter in the first chapter, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And Peter, looking at all these things that he's telling us right here, he's given us all these things. He's done this for us. We're giving exceeding great and precious promises. But then listen as Peter goes on to expound. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. And you know, each one of us can sit there and read those things for ourselves and meditate on them and ask the Lord, is each one of those things, am I giving all diligence to make sure that I'm not lacking any of these things? Am I searching my life? Am I looking, or do I don't really care? I'm just going along. Yep, it's another verse in the Bible. It's another scripture that's been laid out there. There's things just laying. Or does it burn in our hearts to say, Lord, I want to see every word made so real. Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And our lives, as we'll get there just a moment, we'll get over to a couple more scriptures. But he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. And it's so wonderful to see as Peter was feeling pressed in the Holy Spirit to write these things that he wrote at this time. To watch how the Holy Spirit, even though we've heard many a things, the Holy Spirit is always pressing and always pushing that word back to us to make sure that we are an overcomer, making sure that every word is being applied to our lives, that we're not missing anything, that we're, though you know them and though you be established in the present truth, I will not be negligent to bring it always back before you. And look at how God is so graciously today. How many more years down the road than when Peter spoke these things, the Holy Spirit is still stressing the same word to us today. Abide in me and my word, and ask what you will, and it shall be done. Think about the promises, the great and exceeding precious promises that are laying there for us. But we must be found in the vine. If we're not in the vine, the promises don't exist. They don't account. But oh, when we can truly find ourselves abiding in that vine, what a joy it ought to place in our hearts, and a great joy it ought to bring into our lives, and an exceeding, as Peter's saying, give all diligence. How it ought to just be upon our hearts every day. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what can I do? What more does my life, do I need to overcome? What's lacking in my life? Where am I looking for these things? Yes. But sometimes it's easy to get caught up. And that's what Satan wants us to do. Life is so busy. Things are happening around us. It's just go, go, go. Everything all day long. It's just the pressures seem to be greater and greater every day. He's trying to distract us, to keep our minds more centered on the things that are happening around us. We get caught up over here. We get caught up over here. Have you ever seen an age where worldly language and filthy communication is so abundant? All around us every day. What do you hear more of? That's everywhere you go. It's everywhere. It's in the news. It's on the radios. It's on people's minds and their mouths. Every place you go, it's just filth and corruption. But we're not of this world. But we've been called to a higher calling, and how we should keep our focus, that we don't let things like that become common to us, that we begin to just overlook it and think, well, it's just the way they are. No, it's still wrong. It's sin. And oftentimes, because we let it become common to us, we begin to pick up extra little words along the way that's kind of like that, but not quite all the way over there. And we begin to slip a little over here, and we begin to let it down over there just a little bit, because we're losing sight of what sin really is and corruption. And it's everywhere. Brother Branham, that's why he warned us of television and the ads. That's what he was trying to show. Look what you're feeding on, and look what it's doing to you. Look at how they've brought homosexuality to this country and everything. They've introduced it through ads and media and social gatherings and presented it an idea. And they started in the schools and teaching, and it crept in slowly, and then it just become accepted. And if we're not careful, we can become the same way. We can just accept, well, it's just how it is. But God has set a standard, and we must be hold fast to those things. And hold that standard up evident before God, that we believe him to be the Almighty and that his word is just. Amen. Let's go here to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Listen, it's Paul speaking here. Realizing what they were seeing and the great revelation that was being poured out into their hearts and the movement, Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ is his, our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which upon the earth fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetous, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which Also, ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And as Paul is speaking these things, and I want you to just notice as he goes into the next few verses here, of naming a few things, just a few words he's thrown in here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart and fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Yes. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And oftentimes, it's easy for us to read those few things. And they're all through the Bible. It's not just one verse. If you study, it's a wife submitting. There's all kinds of verses for the wives, all kinds of verses for the husband, all kinds of verses for the children and the servants. But how we're responsible for each one of those things. And oftentimes, being raised up in this message and around this message, sometimes it's easy for men just to push it off on that. The wives need to be listening to their husbands. And it's the wives' place. And sometimes we don't want to bow down to God's precious word and let's see what it said about loving our wives. And it's every word, saints. I don't have an opinion. You don't have an opinion. It's what God said. And you don't need me to interpret it for you. You don't need someone else to tell you what it is. It's plain as day in God's precious word. It's wrote out right there. You can read it for yourself. But each one of us got to make sure we're measuring up to the word that's been allotted to me. I once was a child. Did I obey my parents in all things? I've grown up. I'm a man. Maybe I'm a husband now. Maybe I'm a father. I've got to be responsible for the word and the place that I am now. Am I God's word being fulfilled? Is it being seen that word's being manifested through me? I pray it becomes alive to us, saints. It's not just something, because I belong to a message church, this is why I do what I do. It's abiding in the word, abide in the vine, which is Jesus Christ, the word made flesh again today. And you and I being revealing himself, showing forth to this nation that he is alive and that he can have the preeminence of a people. Yes, so amen. They'll so see it that they'll let that word so flow through them. They won't be of this world. They'll be in it and they'll use it, but they won't abuse it. And everything around them, their focus, their soul attention will be set there in their affections on things above. And not on things of this earth. May we truly think of these things. And as I said, as we go back into these things, sometimes it's easy just to read over them. It's easy just to say, well, that's what Paul said. That's easy. That's what the Brother Branham said. That's what the prophet said when he was here. But do we stop and think and meditate? Why did he say that? And where is it in the scriptures? And why did he bring that forth? As John puts it, let's turn over here to 1 John 2. First book of John, back by Revelations, in the second chapter. And just think about these things. Wonderful things that have been written for our admonition. In 1 John 2 and 1 to 6 there. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know that we are in him, and he that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Oh, what a tall task. What a study, as Paul said, study to show thyself approved. And how much word is laying around us that Are we looking into ourselves? It's easy to look out here and say, well, they're not dressing right. And they're cutting their hair. And they're wearing makeup. That's all. You see it. But what about us as individuals? What word is lacking in our life that keeps us from being the exact image of Jesus Christ? What need do I need polished up on? There's overcoming. We're still here. Every one of us has got a higher rung that we're still reaching for. There's a higher calling for all of us. And if we sit here tonight and don't think I've got any overcoming to do, then something's probably wrong with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when that great light is shining, I don't care. When it's shining down, even when you read these things and get into the same anointing, then get underneath the Holy Spirit and begin to read these things. And when He's shining that great light down into your heart, you just see how short you really are. How little we are without Him. And if it wasn't for Him and His grace, we would be nothing. As He said, without me, you can do nothing. And how true it is when we would truly see how little we are in ourselves, how much our opinion really has no bearing. What I think about a situation really doesn't matter. It's what His Word says and what's being vindicated through us, that it would bring forth a reality to this nation, to this people, and everybody around me, that we would walk as He walked, and it would be noticed in our lives. Think about some of the things Brother Smith was saying as he was rehearsing through the book of Acts, and even the things he were talking of those people, what they saw in those apostles. Even as they were stoning Stephen, they were seeing a life. That's what they were hating. They were seeing the very works that Jesus Christ done, the one they put on a cross and tried to smother out. They were seeing it being reproduced in a people's hearts and lives. And may we all be guilty of the same thing. May our lives be a manifestation that life is He is living today. Not ourselves. In every situation, may we yield ourselves to Him. Not get satisfied with, I'm better than so-and-so. I'm doing this, but what about every word? We must each one measure up. As Brother Branham says it here in the message, The Absolute, preached December 1st, 1963. And I'll just start about paragraph 95 to catch what he was saying. He says, so I needed an absolute, so I took one, God's word. And so I read the word that He is the word, St. John 1, and upon this absolute I'll build my church. That's right. So I took Him at His word. Revelation 22:19 said, whosoever shall take one word out of this or add one word to it, that's the absolute. That's the end of all strife. And this is the absolute. Whoever takes anything from it or adds anything to it, God said, I'll take just His part out of the book of life. So that had to be the absolute. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And then I know this every word had to be. And said, precept upon precept, line upon line, there's a way it has to come just as it's written. And then He said, if ye abide in me, He is the word. And my words abiding in you, you can ask what you will. And I know then if Christianity was the word of God and He was the word, and by accepting the word and the word lived through Him, then I know if ye abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will. And if you're in the word part of the word, you'll only ask what the word tells you to ask. Know the day you're living and then ask accordingly. He says, so therefore back to the subject makes, now talking this personally, but I'm tied to Jesus Christ, to Him by His word, and He is my absolute. I found that all these denominations and things had their absolute. Each one, they have their own absolute. The Catholic, when the Pope says something, that's it. The absolute to the Catholic Church. I don't care what the priest says, what the bishop says, what the cardinal says. When the Pope says it, that's it. That's the absolute, and it's correctly. In the Methodist Church, many of the Protestant denominations, what the bishop says, that's the absolute, that's all. What the creed says, that's the absolute. And in Pentecostals, and what's the general overseer says, whether you can have this person for a revival or not, that's the absolute. You disagree, his word, you're kicked out of the organization. See, the word ain't considered at all. You get these absolutes, each one having his own absolute. And you must think about that just a little bit. It's easy to look out here at the denominations and go, they got an absolute, and that's just how it is. We see the Pentecostal organization. We can see where we came from. It was, this is the idea. This is the way it's done. Think about it. But in our own minds, we can create our own absolute that's contrary to God's precious word and create an organization or a creed to ourselves that keeps us from becoming exactly what Jesus Christ wants us to be. Because we make an excuse for what we think it should be or what somebody has told us in the past, we're upholding that as the absolute when God's word may be contrary to what that said. God's word may be trying to correct something in us. It may be trying to show us another way, a higher height. But we've got to get rid of the creeds or whatever we're holding on to from some past experience, some past teaching, maybe some past brother's idea. It didn't even have to be the pastor. It could have just been some brother said, this is the way it is. And you hang on to that thing and block God from being able to take you to the next step. Yeah. And that's why he said, abide in me. Yes. Don't abide in a church. Don't abide with a group of brothers. Don't abide with this over there. He said, you abide in me, who is the word. And he said, obey them that have the rule over you, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's our absolute, back to God's precious word. And each one of us as individuals has got to be certain that we're looking to the vine and we're abiding in that vine and not just being satisfied with, I've come this far, that's far enough. But if God is trying to lead us on, may we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, take me to that next rung. Open my eyes that I can see that maybe what I felt was good enough is not good enough, Lord. There's a higher rung in you. Amen. As he goes on, he says, but you know, I don't say this sacrilegiously. I say it for truth. I feel like the way Paul did when he said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me, for I am determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm not bothered about these absolutes, whether it's the Pope, the Bishop, the General Overseer, or a counselor, or a system, or whatever it is. None of these things move me. I don't care if they say it, this or that, it don't make a bit of difference. I'm determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and his word made manifest among us. And I'm tied to that. That's my anchor, and I've anchored in that. And how easy it is in this life, for every situation in life, somebody has wrote a book, somebody has created an idea of a better way than what God's word has said. Men have come up with ideas on how to, from correcting children to husband and wives loving each other, there's all kinds of material out there all over the place. But God has still never handed down another way than to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and take him at his word and watch him bring the peace and the unity into relationships, into a correcting and raising our children, to running our homes, that the peace of God would dwell among us. There's nothing better than what's laying right here before us. But oftentimes we sometimes start to hear of a better way. We see something that's presented. Oh, that sounds really good. But if it's contrary, our absolute's laying here. And we must make sure that what we're doing is abiding in the vine and not in some other body else's idea or made up theology. And it goes for every walk of life. I'm not trying to point out one individual thing. It's every word of God made manifest today. We each one know what's been required. We know what's here. We're not in the dark. We're not left out here wondering what the word of the Lord is for today. No, it's been declared. It's been presented to us. We know what God is looking for. But do we come to him with an open heart? Lord, give me revelation of everything that I've heard. Make it real. Don't just let it be a head knowledge. Don't let it just be something I gathered into my brain. But Lord, let it take control of my life. Yes, amen. For if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, it will quicken this mortal body. To every word that was it throws this body subject. Amen. Amen. And oh, how we ought to look for that. Amen. What time is it getting to be? Let's see. This is in the message, How Can I Overcome? And our pastor, I believe, read this last Thursday evening. But I just wanted to catch a part of it to go with this. And it was on paragraph 40. And Brother Branham was speaking. He said, it's been said so much that God is such a good God until you try to make God just a big dotty grandfather, you see? But he is not. He is a father of righteousness, of correction, and love is always corrective. And love corrects no matter how bad it hurt, it still corrects. A real mother will correct her children, a real dad will correct. See, you get soft and dotty and let. And he says, I was crossing an old log the other day down a wash, what is called a hollow, and I jumped up on the log, and on the outside it looked good. It looked like a big old beach log. But when I jumped up on it, a great chunk of it fell off. It was real rotten and dotty. And I said, that's the way the Christians are becoming. They've been dead in sin and trespasses so long till they become dotty. They can't hold no weight at all. They don't know what overcoming means. And I begin to think of this text, overcome, keep life in you. And when life went out, that's what brought that log to the condition, see? And it made it worse than it ever when it laid in the branch where the water was. And there you take Christians that's supposed to be a Christian. Let the life of God go from him. the experience, the joy of serving Christ, and living in church where such is going on, he rottens twice as quick right under, living right under. Yeah. So for trying to follow the message of the hour, or at least this part of the message, we should live constantly in the life of Christ. Because if we don't, you lay around and know these things that you're supposed to do and don't do it. The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Then you become dotty and rotten. And when you're separated from the life of God, so strive with all that's in you to stay in the life of Christ, that you would be fruit bearing. And where are we going to get the life to make us fruit bearing from? God's precious word. And how we should be picking it up more often and thinking on these things and reading and rehearsing and asking God to reveal it to our hearts. To think of how great this thing is, that's just a touching. As Brother Brandon began to preach on how can I overcome, that our pastor is bringing. But just think on those things. Strive, he said. It's not just, oh, I go to church, that's all there is to it. I'm a message believer. No, striving. You're pushing. It's a work. Paul said he pressed daily for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It's not just a sitting around time. It's not just, well, I've accepted the message and I'm just following along. No, there's something in our hearts that's pushing. We're striving. We're looking for that great resurrection that's to come. A catching away of a little bride. And by God's grace, I'm going to be one of them by his mercy and grace. I want to be ready when that last trumpet sounds. And oh, how it ought to be pushing on our hearts as we look around us and see what's happening in the land and see what's going on. It ought to be causing a pressure in us. Lord, come quickly. It ought to put that longing in our hearts. Lord, well, look what's prepared for us over there. Look what's waiting on us. Yes. It can't even compare. Your tongue can't even put it into pen what's been prepared for those that love the Lord. Oh, what a time it's going to be. And God give us a glimpse through the prophet of beyond the curtain of time. And then look how many times the prophet said, don't miss it. Make sure you're there. Make sure you're ready. Take it serious and apply it to your life. Look at what God has promised to us. And oh, how Peter and Paul stressed it many times. With all diligence, dig in. Strive for that prize. Amen. Here in the scriptural signs of the time, I thought this was kind of fitting. Paragraph 171, this was preached August 10, 64. Friends, you know what's the matter with the Pentecostal people? They've seen too much. An old salt one day was coming from the sea, and he found a rider going to the sea. And the old salt said to the rider, said, where goest thou, my good man? Said, down to the sea. Oh, I want to smell its salty brines, and I want to see its blue skies, the white clouds, and the seagulls. And he said, I was born on it 50 years ago, and I don't see nothing attractive about it. That's it. He had seen so much of it, till it become common. And that's what the matter with us people. We've seen so much of God, this church, it's been called out of the denominational groups in the last days. Has seen so much of it until it's become so common you just overlook it. Don't never let Christ become common to you, friend. Amen. Don't never do that. You just believe it with all of your heart and all that's in you. Yes, and don't ever let just a service become common to you. It's just another church service. When you come through those doors, if you come expecting, God will deliver to you what you have need of. He will meet you here every time. He'll meet you wherever you are if you come with the right attitude. Yes, he'll meet you at an old tree out in the woods. He'll meet you wherever you may be driving down the road in your car. He'll be there with the right attitude. But don't never let it become common to you. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Every promise in this book was not just put there for reading. It's a truth. It's laying there for our benefit to take a hold of. But don't let this word become common to us. Don't let... Maybe we look around us and it's, oh, we don't see anybody jumping and shouting in our church. We don't see, that don't mean nothing. But there's nothing wrong with shouting. And if you've got it burning down on in here, it don't take music to make you shout. It don't take all everybody else running around to make tears roll down your face. No, it just takes realizing that the great God that hung the moon and stars above us, created the earth we're standing on, took the time to come down and meditate and speak to your heart. Maybe not with an audible voice, but just you just feel his presence. You can feel him all around you when you begin to sing or begin to pray and worship. How great it is to know he's right there. Don't ever think, oh, he's just a whisper away. Sometimes that's just a comment. I know he's there. Yeah, he's there. But do you ever just take the time to say, Lord, come down and fellowship with me. Come down where I am, Lord, and just melt my heart down. Let me just worship you, Lord, and thank you for what you've done for me and what you've given me. And Lord, is there more you can give of me? If we would just get more in tune with the composer, how much sweeter his life would be to us. But don't look around us and don't, it's so easy. Satan's trying to get us, draw it over here, draw us over there. He's put it everywhere. It's on cell phones. You got it all around you every day. It's more and more. People you work with, people you deal with, the morals have just decayed. Nobody cares anymore. It's all kinds of filthy communication and all this stuff taking place. But let's not get sucked into that. But let us look up. Our redemption's drawing nigh. And let us look to make sure that our life is hidden in the life of that vine. And it's reproducing itself. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. A little exhortation, praying you could take something from God's precious word. Yes, you know, it's just so wonderful when you begin to look into what he's doing, saints, and what he's done for us. And oh, how we should just be so thankful for the love that he's shown us. Amen. I'd like to sing that little song, When I Think of the Goodness of Jesus. We don't get to sing it often sometimes. But oh, my soul cries out, hallelujah, amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and just what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Amen. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and just what he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Praise him for saving you. Amen. That's the thing, you know, thinking about being saved. Actually, my mind was just going all kind of directions, many different messages that as our brother was bringing those things out. But as the prophet said, do you realize only the angels are sent to watch over the redeemed? Nobody else. Only the redeemed. It's a question and answers. Think of that. You haven't, if you're redeemed, you're saved in Christ, Christ living in you, you have an angel watching over you. Amen. That's so glorious. Knowing how terrible this old world's getting to be, you still got an angel watching over you. Amen. I was thinking about, too, of how, you know, as a brother was bringing this word out, just real quickly, I won't hold you, but we're understanding greater who God is because God is the Word. And as we receive the Word, we become the Word, become more like God, you see? And think of that. You know, many people today have seen the actions of the prophet. They've seen the acts of what the prophet did and the actions of the Word. And it's just like it was in the book of Psalms. For the children of Israel seen the actions of God. But Moses knew the ways of God. That's a lot different. To know the ways of God. And as we are standing here tonight and we sit here today or this evening and listen to the Word and being filled with the Holy Spirit, we get a greater understanding of who God is and what he is, what he wants. We understand his ways even greater. For this is life eternal. To know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. I thank God for these opportunities. Amen. For when you come in filled with the Holy Ghost and receive the word, you understand God greater. It's just so wonderful. It's a blessing God gives us to be able to sit under that word. As our brother said, we should never just come in just sit down and think, well, it's just another service. No, we should be so thankful for it. So appreciative for it. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity you give us this evening. Yes, the weather's kind of bad outside and it's cold and
damp out, but we're thankful, Lord, that you give the desire in our hearts to gather around the Word of God. It's so precious to us, Lord. And you know my heart, Father, it just seems like this week's just been a sweet, I don't know, relationship with you tonight, this week, and just felt a closeness with you. And Lord, I've just felt in my heart, I don't want to hurt you in any way. And Father, I pray that you'll help each and every one of us to have that burning in our lives. Lord, knowing that we're getting ready to go home. It's getting closer. And yet there may be some things that need to be fulfilled and have to be fulfilled. But it can happen so quickly. And may we be watching, Lord, and loving the appearing of the Lord. Be excited about it. And Father, the more we know about you, the more that you live through us, the more we surrender to you. The more exciting it's going to be, knowing you're about to come and get us. So we pray that you'll bless us now and just watch over each one of us as we travel to our homes. And Father, if it be your mercy and grace and your be your great will, Lord, just let us gather back again Sunday and come hungering for the Word of God to see, Lord, if we can climb another rung. It's so important in this last hour. So we ask that you'd bless us and just watch over us now. Thy will be done in our lives. In your most wonderful, precious name we ask it, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May God richly bless you. Be careful.